Agenda item number 17.
So, good evening. And I do have a handout.
I think the most important thing about this is the regulation itself, which you have. And we have a lot of blue paper today, so I did not do everything, minor changes on blue paper with a 26-page regulation. Did I give those to you?
No.
Okay. Great. This has been a big issue. It's lingered for about a year through the ASMSC, through the states. We've had some briefing on this. It all boils down to what we're going to do for the rest of 2015. And there is a situation about a boundary area, and I just handed you out some information that pertains to that boundary area, the Great Waikamako through Tangier area. And then we do have an item as well on transfers, which are pretty strong. The transfer process for Striped Bass is a very active program. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on some of the slides, but I'm going to tell you it's been a big issue on the coastal recreational striped bass fishery. We have one fish right now, 28 inches or greater. We have the ability for what's known as conservation equivalency to establish other options. And so here are four options. So for this issue, it's the current regulation that's in effect. You could have two fish with 33 inches. You could have two fish where you have one in a slot size limit, 28 inches to 34, and one with 36 inches or greater as a trophy fish. You could have an item D. You could have a slot limit where it goes from 28 to 36 and a 38-inch minimum. The net effect, the way staff sees this, is whether we appreciate it or not, we're in a reduction phase for this resource. This resource has shown signs of diminishment to some extent, and the ASMFC certainly has made this their hallmark species. They're very interested that striped bass stay at a healthy level. There were indications that set this all in motion that either last year or this year, definitely, the spawning stock biomass falls below a safe level. Barely, it falls below a safe level. That's what prompted all this. But I thought you might be interested in looking at our ocean harvest, which is in the lighter blue, and the releases. These are the fish that some of you release alive. We could have used a little bit of that today to turn them back to the water. And you can see in both cases with the harvest running from 1997 to the present, well, through 2014, that there's really been a truncation of the harvest, as well as the released alive. The fishing has not been so good. Some of the reasons we heard, and there weren't that many, but there were in your packet, a few requests, which is another packet, requests for the two fish, and they even state, well, the fish have not been there, but in case they come back from offshore out past 3 miles, we sure would like a chance to have two fish. And so you can see that it's a falling down fishery overall. I do want to mention that this is relatively new process for data. It's called MRIT. You've heard me mention it before. Marine Recreational Fishing Improvement. And nonetheless, there's been a collection system since 1979 from the federal government, from National Marine Fisheries Service. This is an opportunity to tell you we in Virginia are going to be operating this survey, kicking and screaming, but had no choice, starting in August with a dry run, with a pilot program for us to handle MRIP, for us to handle personnel, hire personnel, manage the interviews, push data up through ACCSP, which is the statistical arm in between the feds and ASMSC. All the states are going to be doing it. I think six have been doing it beforehand. North Carolina is the most notable. They've been doing it for many years. They've been very successful. We're all scared to death, frankly, because to start a new program like that and have that responsibility, it's a little unnerving. So here are the options in terms of which groups or which individuals supported it. You can see option A, which down here is status quo to what we have, gained the biggest support. 10 individuals, 22 individuals on a single letter where they actually signed off, you have it in the packet, their support for this option. And then the Peninsula Club is the club that sponsored this particular option. I think it's important to know that Maryland and North Carolina have already adopted the one fish, 28 inches and greater, as well as New York and Rhode Island. Some of the other states have yet to come out of their rulemaking, their legislative assembly. FMAC chose the two fish at 33. That was just last week. They struggled. They took three attempts to form a motion, a consensus on a motion, and they finally pushed that motion forward. On C, with a slot trophy, that's preferred by the Chincoteague Charter Boat Association. I think they're called the Chincoteague Island Charter Boat Association and the Norfolk Anglers Club. It might be important to know that even in one fish, our regulation allows the captain and the mate to have a fish as well. So someone on a charter, for example, if it's six folks, a six-pack, there's going to be a couple of extra fish from the captain and the mate. So that's the coastal area. We're bracketed by North Carolina and Maryland with the same regulation we have right now. We have the most support for staying with one fish at 28 inches or greater. It's hard to say how much high grading will occur with the other options. In other words, if you're out there waiting for that trophy fish, what are you doing in the meantime? Angler behavior is very difficult to promote. For conservation equivalency, I asked the ASMFC staff for this meeting coming up that they pour the worst case scenario, what seems like the weakest regulation, the two fish and the slot limit, and put them together to form a perspective on whether that would reach a 50% probability of lowering the fishing mortality rate. And that's what all these options are about. There's a 50% probability, if everything goes perfectly according to plan, that the fishing mortality rate will get back to the target. So that's what this is all about. For the bay, haven't heard too much disagreement about 20 inches. If we go from 18 inches to 20 inches, we'll have two fish still in the bay. We've got the strong 2011 year class, which is fully into the fishery. About 45% of that year class is going to be under 20 inches. They'll get some protection that way. It was a very good year class. We did have one public comment that wanted 20 inches but wanted the commission to look at going to one fish. But that was the only comment that was of that like. The whole idea here is Maryland and the Potomac River will have the same, and I think Potomac River has already adopted their 20-inch, as has Maryland, so we'll, in the bay, we'll all have the same regulation. The other thing to talk about, which is going to be another handout in a minute, is we have a 32-inch trophy size for our spring fishery, which runs from May 1 to May 15. And you're also allowed from May 16 to June 15, one of your two fish can be this trophy fish. We've never had much success with that fishery. A lot of the anglers really haven't cared about that fishery. But there are some who do. We're nothing compared to Maryland spring fishery, which in 1 year, about 5 years ago, was 70,000 migrant fish in that spring fishery. That's a lot of weight. We usually have on the order of hundreds, but we've had very poor reporting. You may have heard Joe Griss last month talk about tightening up the compliance on the reporting, which we'll do, because we do want to know what we have there. We just don't think it's very much. This should tell you something similar about striped bass overall. This is in the Chesapeake area, and you see the exact same pattern that you saw in the coastal area. The bottom started to drop out probably around 2006 or 7. The harvest stayed in there because people were releasing less fish in the yellow. Those are the releases. But then you come along here, and it's a time of a low fishery. And we do hear from the anglers. I mean, we've been hearing from the anglers for about 7 or 8 years that they just don't seem to see the same quality of fish. Well, why is that? Well, I think one reason that you have to look at very quickly is the different abundance indices that are done by Marilyn and done by VIMS. And you can see with that here's your 2011 year class. In Virginia, it was the largest ever. But what you see in the past, through the 90s especially, you see these good year classes feeding into the population. There are four stocks out there, but the Chesapeake is the large stock. And you see the same thing in Maryland, although less pronounced. Their 2011 year class was about fourth highest. If you combine these in a bay-wide perspective, things don't change very much. You look at the last couple of years, 2013-14, barely if at average. You look over here, 2010, 2009, and 2008, and you can see, and even 2006, you can see low period of abundance. So it makes sense as these fish grow through and are part of the fishery and are fished out, that the weaker the year classes, the more they're going to be fished out. So this is the main situation. We can talk a lot about climate variability, North Atlantic oscillation, but we'll save that for another day, because there are reasons why there are strong year classes, obviously. I'm showing you this, which is the 20-inch minimum here, C4, which has been approved by everyone, to let you know something pretty profound. We've had a bay-wide quota, which covered all three jurisdictions, recreational and commercial fisheries, since 1997. Initially, it was 10.5 million pounds for all the fisheries. These are gone now. There's no quota. There are no quotas for the whole bay, either recreational or commercial. We're strictly reducing the 2012 commercial harvest to form a 2015 quota, and we're reducing the 2012 recreational fishery with size and possession limits or bag limits. So we don't have a quota. Sometime in the future, the jurisdictions are going to have to sit down when the dust clears from this addendum in about 3 years, and the ASMFC says, let's take a health look at how the stock is. Once that happens, then the jurisdictions need to decide what they're going to do in the future. Just very quickly, this is a familiar topic to you. We had some law enforcement situations about these problems just today, but also these are sort of problems with where you can have your tags and where you can have tags from other jurisdictions. Nothing has changed with these six items. They're still in the regulation intact, except they've been rewritten so that they're a little more accessible to anyone who reads the regulation. So you can scan down these. They've stayed the same. The issue at hand is what to do about the Great Wicomico to Tangier management area, which previously allowed tags from either Maryland, PRFC, or Virginia to be on board when they transited into this area. The main problem we found out is once they came down here, they no longer could have different jurisdiction tags. You can only have Virginia tags down here. So when they went back, if they had Potomac River tags, for example, when they went back to their home area, if they were stopped in between, they were in violation. So we've remedied that because the Great Wicomico wasn't really part of that area before. It was just at the northern end. And Boy, oh boy, it's jumping on me, folks. It really is. It doesn't want to go. All right, we'll make it go. There we go. So now, down below Ingram Bay at the mouth here, we have the Great White Comico included. If you transit down here, you can come back in. The big change here is that one jurisdictional tag at a time. So if you come into this area, you can only have a Maryland tag if you come in here. Now, we were surprised. We have a way station for Maryland up here in the Northern Neck. Did you know that? We have a way station at the Gaskins for Maryland. So that got rid of our opportunity, no offense to Maryland, to eliminate their tag in here. And they're still in here. But it has to be a single jurisdictional tag. I did talk to Mr. Hull, and we squared away that we were within the guidelines of our public notice. So that's the change. So from now on in this area, you can have one of either of the three jurisdictions tags. With the previous slide, if you had looked at it, you'd see that there already are rules against having other tags, coastal tags in the bay, vice versa, everything else. And I want to go over just briefly, just so you know it's there, for the record, on blue paper, page 17 of 26 through page 19 of 26, that is the new language that corresponds to what happens in this area. It also corresponds to the six items which before had just been, from the past, a laundry list. You can't do this, you can't do this. They are now written as part of the regulation. We are branching out in fisheries management. Other people are trying their hands at regulations. I think that's good for the future. It just takes a little extra time to get it the exactly how you need to have it. If you look at this situation here, we do have a lot of transfers that occur, and that's always been the case. They're permanent. There are shares of permanent commercial quota. There are shares of temporary quota that get transferred. And we've rewritten this. It doesn't change the intent or content of the regulation one bit. It's just that when you amend regulations enough times, you have to stand back and say, what am I really saying, and how can I say it effectively? So if you look through this on your blue paper when you get a chance, it's written now, so shares of commercial striped bass quota shall not be permanently transferred. The same thing occurs down here, and what also changes are the dates. It seems like we're going to be a little more inviting to the commercial fishery, and staff has assured us that that's fine. They can have a little bit more transferability. Everything's done by appointments, so they have indicated they can take care of that. It'll be sort of a mutualism. Staff will benefit by that as well. Here are the dates that we're talking about with the changes here, and here's what's currently going on, and here's what's permanently going on. There is a 500-pound threshold to be able to transfer up until you get towards the end. When you get into the end of the year, it can be 200 pounds or the remainder of your quota. That is in the regulation. So here's a staff recommendation. It's to adopt the proposed amendments to Chapter 4 BAC 2252.10 in sequence, and to establish the annual recreational minimum size limit for the Chesapeake Bay, and that should really read Chesapeake area because it includes the Potomac River tributaries to Virginia, as 20 inches up from 18, to maintain the coastal recreational minimum size limit of 28 inches and one fish, status quo, no change there at all, and also to modify the tag possession requirements, and which was added, also the tag striped bass requirements. So if you read the previous version of the regulation, it talked about tags, and we said, what about the fish? So it's tags or tagged fish. Have to make that clear, tag striped bass in particular. And then finally, which I just showed you in the last slide, to modify the administrative dates for the commercial transfers of the ITWQ, individual transfer of weight quota. That's all I have, Commissioner.
Thank you, Chief. Any questions from the commission?
Me personally and my club in general and most of the anglers I talked to, all not unanimous, are supporting all the staff recommendations. So that's basically where we're at. Striped bass are not good. And so the one fish at 28 inches. According to the SMC, is the one option that gives us the best chance of the reductions working. So that's where I'm at.
And it has the added benefit of uniformity with the adjoining space.
Simple.
Yep.
We have problems following things. So if you want a motion, I move to accept staff recommendations.
Second.
Before we do that, it's a public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter, either pro or con?
Staff.
Seeing none, the matter is before the commission.
All right. I just made my motion. Second.
Motion by Mr. Neal, second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Chief.